Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. We are hot off of our Spider-Man Homecoming review talk, and we're here to talk more nerd. And I am joined by... I'm going to make it real quick tonight. I'm joined by Cynthia.
Hey.
What's up? Joined by Gannon. Joined by Format. Joined by Isaac.
Welcome to the NerdWatch
Podcast. Isaac is in the house tonight as well. He is our second horror aficionado.
I felt like it was stereo.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Thanks, Isaac, for mocking me. Appreciate
it. I appreciate it.
You know what, though?
Yes, sir.
You're truly a part of the cast
until
now.
Until someone can do an impression of you,
you're
not doing a good enough job as a host. You, my friend, are doing an excellent job as a host.
I appreciate that. You will be back next week for that, for sure. And then finally, the chairman of the comic book board, Alika, is in the house tonight as well. And in the background, ladies and gentlemen, once again, Silent Sean lunging his way to...
Stardom.
Stardom. Yeah, he's here as well. There he is. He's here as well. And, ladies and gentlemen, something that I forgot to mention because we're short on time last show, the prodigal son or father has returned to the Nerd Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, the sage Bruce is in the house. He's in the background.
Bruce
is in the house. He's he's
put your hand in frame so they know you're there.
He's he of course has been
stop leaving.
He for some reason he thinks that family is more important than the Nerd Watch, which is just so stupid.
We're your family now.
So, that's right.
One of us. One of us.
So Hennessy's back in the house, the sage. He also got to see Spider-Man Homecoming, and he loved it. So just to refresh everybody, the sage is also he's a comic book nerd. He's a comic book movie nerd. And
I didn't realize his credentials were in question.
No. For those that may not know who Hennessy is, the sage, they may not know him.
Is this like when somebody disappears from a show and then they come back and everybody's like, "Oh, who was that guy?"
He's like that Elizabeth Smart chick that got kidnapped and then.
Is he like Elizabeth Smart? What? Yeah,
this is kind of.
Do you
like
just
when...
like say things to make sure we're listening?
Yeah,
I think it's more like when Walt left Lost.
Oh, there you go.
Then
he came back. Okay, that's much better. Much better.
It's closer to that.
Okay, good. All right, just good. Well, listen, we are the Nerd Watch. You guys can follow us at facebook.com/thenerdwatch. Yes.
The beer's on the table.
You can follow us on Twitter at Nerd Watch Nation. We do have to move that, by the way. You can follow us on Instagram.
I'll just cover them.
Instagram at _nerdwatch.
You put them on the table. I didn't even know.
You're responsible.
I didn't realize we were already on camera.
All right.
We're on live. Who cares?
Well, no, we're recording that, too. Facebook.com /NerdWatch. You guys can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch
Everyone
Nation.
Knows I'm drinking apple juice.
Instagram at _NerdWatch. And, of course, you can follow us on Patreon and donate to the podcast at patreon.com/NerdWatch. We greatly appreciate your support, for sure. Into it, shall we? It is... New Comic Book Wednesday coming up tomorrow. Today was 20% off Tuesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's get into what's brand new in comics and what
it'll
we can...
be new Comic Book Wednesday soon.
Yeah, very soon. Let's find out what we can pay full price for come Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Okay, starting with DC Comics, we have Action Comics 983.
Can you start again?
Yeah,
more
excitement, energy, excitement.
Yeah, come on. You're saying it that way,
Action Comics.
You know what? It's because Todd is usually my nemesis during the comics list.
That is true.
I don't have anybody to play off of.
Maybe Format should do this.
This is like Batman without Joker. He's
okay,
like,
let me try and beat Todd. You go ahead.
He needs a Flavor Flav. That's what he needs.
Go ahead. Right. What are you starting
Somebody
off with?
Be an independent comic
advocate
and let me talk down to you. Come on.
So who are you starting off with?
DC Comics.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, there you go. All right.
It's not as good as Spawn.
All right, there we go. Action Comics 983, American Way, Those Above and Below, number 1 of 6. I don't know what that is.
Mm. But Todd would know. Oh, that's going to be.
Todd would know.
That's going to be good, Alika.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd make sure to put
because
one in order for
Because it's a long,
me.
Complicated name.
Yeah.
Dark Days casting, number one.
Robert Kirkman didn't write that.
That's true. Yeah. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 12. Mm. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, number 15. Mm.
I would hardly call that independent.
I
mean, I know it's
not,
but
it's DC. Wonder Woman, number 26. Mm. And so for Marvel, we've got Amazing Spider-Man.
The bane of the comic book industry existence.
All right.
Did somebody say bane?
There it is. All right, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool number 33. Mm. Edge of the Venomverse number 2. Yeah, Venom number 152. Mm. Hulk number 8. Old Man Logan number 26. Spider-Man.
He's just getting older, isn't he?
Spider-Man 2, number 1 of 5.
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man.
1 of 5.
Spider-Man 2.
Plural.
So it's the sequel to the crossover where Peter Parker meets Miles Morales.
It's too many numbers in that book.
Earth 616, Peter Parker
so it's
meets.
Spider-Man
2, 1 of 5.
1 of 5.
Not Spider-Man 21 of 5.
Okay, right. How would you. Okay, so let's imagine for a second. How would you fit Ben Reilly into that equation?
Ben Reilly's the clone.
Right.
He's from Earth 616.
Right. He's from 616 too, right? Yeah. That's why I said.
But it's not like a massive crossover. It's just Peter Parker from 616 and Miles from the Ultimates universe.
Okay.
Right. And and Darth Vader number 3.
What? Man.
And Darth Vader, we have that cake.
That's right. Darth Vader. All right. Okay. Independence.
If somebody said cake.
Independence.
Cal Exit number 1.
Cal Exit number 1.
Centipede number 1. The Atari game.
Oh wait, okay. Here's a funny thing about that. That's actually written by the band Say Anything's Max Bemis. For some reason,
I like his last name because it rhymes with Beavis.
Well, his name is Max Bemis, but he actually—I don't know if he came up with a concept, but apparently he turned the Centipede game into a book.
Oh.
Well, they're relaunching all of the Atari games as comics.
Which is completely
They
stupid.
Just had Sword Quest. Yes, it's very stupid.
They did Sword Quest.
They just did Sword Quest. Wow. They're the ones on the shelf right now. And
why not lead with Pac-Man?
If
they don't own Pac-Man. It's Atari. Namco owns Pac-Man.
If the Centipede comic is anywhere near as good as the Battleship movie, it's going to be phenomenal.
You know what? But the Battleship movie has like this cult underground following. Like,
I love it. I love it. I think
my mentor, Bruce Ellsworth, loved it. He swore by it. And I never watched it.
I loved it.
I feel like I got to watch. Oh, is it?
Bruce Ellsworth. Battleship was amazing. I thought it was hilarious.
Bruce Ellsworth was amazing, too.
Yeah. Wait, you thought it was amazing because it was hilarious because it was bad?
I thought it was amazing because it was very tongue-in-cheek, very jingoistic. I enjoyed it.
You thought they were in on the joke? They didn't. They were doing that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know why? I also like I like Peter Berg. I like his direction. He's good. So he's good in it as well.
Do they fight the centipedes like in Pixels?
The book didn't come out yet. How do we know?
Yeah, I don't know.
You tell us when it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You let us know.
Divided States of Hysteria number 2.
I thought they pulled that book.
What game is
that? They just keep canceling the covers.
Okay.
The cover was too controversial.
Okay, okay.
The book is still going.
Oh, okay.
Mage, Hero Denied, number 0.
Yeah!
Game of Thrones, Clash of Kings, number 2.
By the way, Game of Thrones is going to be starting up
is
soon,
winter
so we're going
to...
Yeah.
Winter is apparently coming.
Is it on this Sunday? Sunday. All right, so listen.
It's not this Sunday, is it?
Is it this Sunday?
Oh, my God.
Okay, if it's happening this Sunday, we're definitely going to be talking about that, so be prepared, guys. I don't know if you guys watch it, but...
I don't have HBO. What do I do?
Watch it here.
Come over to my house.
Come
here,
okay.
All right. Cool.
I don't wanna.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
I'm like 5 seasons behind. But I'll catch up.
Yeah, make sure you pout when you finish it.
Yeah. I've seen a couple episodes, and I was like,
"Wow,
really? Dragon show."
Really? Well,
that's how I felt when I watched Vikings.
Yeah.
You know,
Vikings is okay.
In the medieval times.
All right. So what else is on that list?
Gru, Play of the Gods. Judge Dredd, Blessed Earth, number 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lola XOXO, volume 2, number 1.
Sounds good.
War of the Planet of the Apes, number 104, and My Little Pony.
Ooh. Yes!
Of course, we got bronies in the house.
No, I'm just kidding.
And that's where you guys can pick up all of those amazing comics here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles.
How to make friends.
You can, is it coming in on time this week, I'm guessing? It's going to be good this week and on time?
Yeah. There's no holiday this
week.
Okay,
great.
Yeah,
sweet.
You know.
Check it out. 333 Dairy Road,
Tuesday.
Kahului, Maui,
yeah,
Comics and Collectibles. Now, before we go any further with movie news,
I just have to say this. He didn't write, he wrote under here,
Centipede number one, but it, instead it looks like he wrote Cent Pepe.
I know what I meant.
Cent Pepe.
Nice.
I want that book.
Want nice, that so book
I.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do. Want, I'd take
Centipede
that as well.
Number one.
I'm going to draw that one right now.
right now. Well,
be Uno.
See, Todd would have pulled on Lola XOXO number one.
Yeah, he loves Lola.
He would have definitely pulled on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you say Lola XOXO?
I did.
That's exactly what I said.
Okay, I didn't know you even said that.
Number one, but volume two.
Wow. Yeah, Todd would pick that up.
It's been said because Alika also said it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, listen, people.
I'm sure we're giving a lot of credence to that book because Todd would have been sitting on that one.
Yeah.
That's true.
Todd.
During the show?
It's sick.
Spinning.
I'm standing up for him.
I know, you should.
I'm tired.
He is your friend. He's your friend.
He's our friend.
All right, anyway, like I was saying, getting back to the point before we get into any more movies and stuff. Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Isaac, you can follow Isaac at Isaac's Haunted Beard on Twitter.
Bet you can.
Actually, you can have...
I was going to say, it sounds like when we end.
Yeah, yeah, I know it does. You can actually also follow him on YouTube as well, yes?
Sure. Follow him around Mako.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
More importantly, the reason why I'm bringing it to Isaac is because today we celebrate his life.
Yes!
Isaac Keith Martinez, this is your life.
This
Thank
is
you.
Your
life. I have a slideshow.
Is this like James Lipton?
Yeah, this is James Lipton.
For the record,
you
yes,
want to be
yesterday.
God, Isaac? What would you ask him? What's your favorite swear word?
For those that can, that don't know and that cannot pick up,
yesterday.
Isaac is been our Twin Peaks expert. Oh, cool. He's been our Twin Peaks expert for the last few weeks.
How old do you think
weeks?
Isaac is? Because I'm going to guess 27.
He's 14.
All right. All right. Let me guess.
The candles are right there.
Let me take a wild guess.
Yeah.
He's 112.
I'm going to say 39.
Very close.
39? Oh, no.
Very close.
All right. Sorry. Are you 40?
One more.
Oh, you're 41.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're
congratulations.
Almost, that's a good age.
You're almost over there.
I liked 41.
Keep going.
So far, I've liked all the ages.
Did you? Did you?
Sweet. I was like alive and stuff. I'm going to be disappointed when there's no more ages.
Yeah, man. Well, I tell you what.
Another level.
It is your it is your birthday today. So
yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday to you, sir, from the Nerd Watch. And did you get everything you wanted for your birthday?
Oh man, I got to come here and be on a podcast with a bunch of comic book nerds.
And this cake.
Oh man, we should show Facebook Live and everybody the cake. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we should.
Isaac, we'll show Alexis too.
High fructose sugar.
Dump everything on the ground.
I was told it was a wrestling themed cake.
I'm sorry, that didn't happen.
But
it was out of my hands. It was out of my hands.
But come to find out, it kind of is a wrestling themed cake because Vader is on it.
There's also
plates. And Vader wrestles with my heart. On a regular
Drop it! Drop it!
It
looks amazing.
Like it's hot.
It looks amazing.
Yeah,
anyway.
Right,
just leave it right here on the table. So happy birthday to Isaac. Congratulations. He is our secondary horror aficionado. You can check him out on YouTube. He's quite a learned nerd, as it were. And we're going to be getting more to him, getting more from him and Cynthia tonight as they talk about Twin Peaks.
From who?
So
Darth Vader?
That's awesome. You can stick your finger in anything
yeah.
you want. There you go. All right.
Looks like Ned from
Hey, Ned's watching.
Who?
Ned.
Ned from Spider-Man Homecoming is watching. Hi, Ned.
Ned's here?
What?
Yes.
It's Pat.
Ned's you didn't really think the actual Ned from Spider-Man Homecoming
I almost,
it,
well, I mean, isn't he from here? Home. Isn't he from here?
He's from Hawaii.
He's from Hawaii. I figured as much.
He went to Damien private school.
Damien Memorial School. As in Father Damien. High School. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Jason Momoa went to school here.
No, not in Molokai. It was in Oahu. Yeah.
Jason Momoa played Ned.
No, he did not.
Is that where we're going with all this?
No.
That's where I came
Chee-hoo
up with.
I would have liked Spider-Man more.
Yeah. Oh. Can you imagine?
Like,
he's
that guy
Park,
in the chair. I'm going to sit on that guy's
Parker's
lap.
Peter Parker's best high school friend was Jason Momoa.
I feel like the room changed after Todd left. Everyone's all like happy now.
I have drank more.
Yeah.
Wait.
Apple juice.
Just say anything about wrestling, anything at all.
I thought Great Balls of
Wrestling's
Fire.
Fake.
Nice.
Very good. Good job, on, Isaac. Really. Good job. That was.
I felt like Todd.
Todd was
left.
Right in the room. You channeled him. Thank you, sir. You channeled him. I like the fact that he sees that he seethes when we talk about
it. Well, here's the thing that he doesn't realize. He's playing heel, and he doesn't even know it.
I know. He doesn't even know it, does he? Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I'll admit that. And he's it's not. It's like he doesn't even realize how good he is being at being the heel right now.
He's
it's
great.
He's fantastic. Anyway.
I put my heel in my shoe.
We have
hold on. I screwed up.
I put my heel in my shoe.
You're such a dork, dude.
Oh. Then you have my permission today.
Tom Hardy?
My gosh. Anyway, but we got some more stuff to talk about it before we move on to Twin Peaks. First off, Gannon, you got a chance to watch Baby Driver.
Yes.
I did not get to see that yet. How was it?
Was there an actual baby driving?
The first half of it's good. Like, it's the common criticism. The first half of it's really good, and the second half just kind of feels like a mess after a while.
Oh.
Because, like, the first half is, like, there's a lot of very well choreographed and orchestrated sequences, like, almost borderline a musical.
Yeah.
Like, just him walking through the street after a heist, he's like, it's borderline a musical. Like, I'm not even, you're joking, but that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, well,
it's very well orchestrated sequences. But then it feels like once it hits the middle, and once the plot starts kicking in a little bit more and more, and the stakes start getting raised, it kind of almost feels like Edgar Wright lost all that traction and got into Tarantinoville. But it's such
Film really violent?
Not violent, but it gets into that Tarantino crime type of storytelling.
It's not violent
per se, but, like, you know, once it switches gears, it's so abrupt that it doesn't even feel like it's the same movie anymore, but not in a good way.
Okay.
It's
a sexy baby.
Like,
a violent baby.
I don't know. When I watched the movie, I really got the sense that, you know, Edgar Wright was so frustrated not getting to do Ant-Man that he just needed to do something where he could just riff.
Does Baby Driver, like, shrink?
No.
That'd be cool.
No.
Okay, so...
There's actually a story reason why he's called Baby Driver.
Right, okay. I wanted to know. Because what I'm thinking is that I understand that he has a hum in his ear. It's in the previews, blah, 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 blah.
It's not really jumped on that much in the plot.
Okay.
Because every now and again, they'll either take away his headphones or he'll lose them in the middle of something. It doesn't affect too much of what's happening in the moment.
It seems like in the preview, maybe
it's just a cool excuse as to why he always has had music on.
If I'm wrong, but it looks like Kevin Spacey kind of is the guy who carries the show. Is that
no
really?
If you watch the trailers, it seems like he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's actually like Q.
Oh,
he's more like Q in the story. He's a guy that basically brings them the job, sets them up with what they need, and then they go out and do what they got to do.
Okay.
He's actually more that character.
Is there anything? Does the plot with baby and the girl, does it work? Does the actual storyline?
It gets into old school Hollywood type of romance where they meet each other for like a day and then they're already madly in love with each other. Where they're willing to like let go of their lives in order to move forward, and it's like it's cool for a movie from 30 or 40 years ago. But when you're watching it and it's supposed to be a contemporary set movie, just like really.
You gotta admit though,
that into each other that quick.
They did that in True Romance. To be fair though.
Yeah, but that's 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and granted, it's not that long ago, but still, like, it's a very antiquated Hollywood type of story, and they don't have strong enough chemistry to buy it.
Oh, okay.
The girl does look extremely like Shelley from Twin Peaks, but not quite as beautiful. But she gives you that vibe.
Yeah, there are very few women that are.
But I don't know. It's got a great cast and music. You know, it's not music that I like per se, but the music suits the movie. When you watch the movie, it just feels like Edgar Wright needed a movie to riff on and just get a lot of frustration off from not getting to do Ant-Man. I got a funny feeling that's what this movie
I was like for him. The soundtrack, because I heard the soundtrack. I like the fact that they were riffing on songs that people know, but the originals I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
The most fun for me when I heard it was David McCallum. I have known about his music for a long time. David McCallum's the guy who's on NCIS now. He's the coroner. He's also a very talented jazz artist. Ducky's.
Yeah.
You know the song The Next Episode? That's his riff. That's from his song from the 1960s. It's crazy. You know,
next episode.
Yeah, I'll play it next time. Does no one know the next episode? Yes, Dr. Dre.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh.
I'll play it for you after the show. But
no,
anyway.
I know the song.
Yeah, no, the original, I mean. The original. But anyway,
You just told me it was Dr. Dre.
No, that's not what I meant.
He means where the hook came from.
The hook came from. The hook came from David McCallum, which is very cool. Anyway,
but the movie,
what was
it? Back to it, like, the movie's fine. But yeah, I couldn't get over the feeling that it just felt like it was coming from a place of frustration.
Jamie Foxx, any good?
Yeah, he's really good in the movie. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop thinking of Winding Refn's Drive, though.
Oh, I like Drive.
But they're almost so close in terms of what they're going for story wise that I couldn't stop thinking of Drive when I was watching it. And Drive is a better movie.
Oh, Drive is a better movie.
Drive is a better movie.
Okay.
Through and through.
All right. So overall, would you?
It's a lot more somber. It's not as energetic, but it's consistent in what it's trying to do.
Is this something I have to see at the theater, or can I wait?
I think it, because of the music being so
in the theater.
Because of the music being so bombastic and so integral to like a theatrical kind of a film, then yes. But do I feel like you should rush out and go it? Not necessarily. It depends on if you really want to see that kind of a movie.
Okay. All right. So there was a lot of hype behind the movie. It did fairly well at the box office.
It's still doing pretty well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's not a bad movie. I think the hard part is that you can't stop tagging it into other Edgar Wright movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of his movies have been fairly consistently excellent, even though they don't perform very well necessarily.
It's true.
And
what's your favorite one?
Is this the first
official? Everybody's going to expect me to say Shaun of the Dead, but I really love World's End.
You know what's funny?
I really love World's End.
Is this Baby Driver, is this the first movie without either Simon Pegg or Nick Frost?
This is all an Edgar Wright thing all the way.
No, but what I'm saying is, do we get to see Nick Frost or Simon Pegg in Baby Driver?
No.
They're not in it at all.
It's supposed to be more of an American set film, so there's I think the lead is the only one that's English, but he's doing an American accent.
Right. So,
which I don't even know how to say his name right. It's Ansel Elgort.
Engert or something.
Igor.
Elgort or something.
Egon.
I think it's pronounced Igor.
Igor.
Anyway.
Well, you know, and I've seen it in another review where they said that he's such a strangely stark contrast to everybody else in the movie because he's this baby-faced character.
Yeah.
And it just, he doesn't fit in the world, but I don't know if I would say that because that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be this guy who's just really good at what he does and he just gets swept up into this business because behind, like Kevin Spacey has a line where he's just like, behind the wheel, he's a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he can't be caught, that kind of thing. They don't really play it on as strong as what's said. So it's kind of that they should have done it by visually, not by talking about
it. Should have made him a demon.
They should have had him in a demon mask driving a car made out of flames.
As
with
matter
chains
of fact,
hanging out
the
of it.
Movie should have been called Demon Driver.
It should have just been called Ghost
Demon
Rider.
Baby. Demon Baby Driver. That's awesome.
Baby Driver. Did a dingo eat the baby?
Baby Demon.
What would you give it?
A three?
Three stars? Yeah.
How many dingoes would you give Baby Driver?
It's executed well, but. Yeah. Like I said, like once it shifts into like the last half of the movie, it just becomes like it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of thought put into it.
Yeah, and
it just seems like all right, now we have to get to the end. Like there's like as well as the first half goes, it doesn't carry over.
Did
the
it run long? I mean, as far as was it
doesn't
long?
Doesn't feel like it.
No,
doesn't feel like it. But it's a very simple story.
Yeah,
like I said, it's almost exactly like how Drive goes. Like he's a driver. Everybody calls on.
How's the leading lady? Is she okay?
She's not hard in the eyes.
Okay,
is that what you meant? Was okay code for is she sexy?
Is she poundable? Is that what you're going for?
Is she breedable?
I wasn't looking for breedable.
Would you give her the shocker?
Yeah, sure.
She does not float my particular boat, but...
Okay, but...
The two of them just don't really have any believable chemistry. Like, they're only in love with each other because the script asked them to be.
So they don't have any real
because I mean,
affection.
And, you know, go back to the Spider-Man thing. The chemistry with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone was great. That's like one of the shining things about both movies, no matter how bad the second
and
one
was.
And
his hair is great.
His hair is fantastic. And every time he's talking, it looks like he's about to bust out a freestyle. But watch that movie, you'll see what I mean. But that's an example of great chemistry despite the movie.
Right.
But it just turns out those two actually act, you know, hooked up. In Baby Driver, it's like, the chemistry doesn't line up with what's on screen.
Does it feel like a comic book movie at all? Does it feel?
It feels like Edgar Wright. Are you just? You're not really listening to me, are you? Just,
no,
you're,
no,
you're
I'm
just,
listening to you.
You're just going on
I'm
Facebook.
No, I'm listening to you. I was paying attention to something. But anyway, no. Does it feel like a comic book movie?
No, it feels like those classic 70s car kind of movies.
But those movies are better.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen Baby Driver. I'm just saying that because I'm so pro 70s everything.
What, like Vanishing Point, Dirty
yeah.
Mary, Crazy Mary?
It feels like that's what he's going for. Like the 2017 version of that.
Nice.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because we're just spoiled with like the wealth of information on the internet. But I just could not stop thinking about like, this. Of course he would make this because he didn't get to do Ant-Man.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess I will be waiting then. For as much as I want to see it, I guess I'll be waiting. That's kind of a bummer. Anyway, moving on. Any other fascinating news that we need to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Isaac.
All the buzz is that Tarantino is making a Charles Manson film. Did you guys hear this today?
I did not.
Okay,
with Brad Pitt attached.
Not yet. They're in talks.
Now it's
him and Jennifer Lawrence.
The one thing we have to remember is that Tarantino.
I heard about it now.
Tarantino has said that he will make 10 movies. That's mm-hmm. his limit. So this will be number 9.
Number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was expecting a Western set in Australia, I think, was mostly the rumored next one.
Yeah.
I heard that, too.
It's interesting that it's not interesting, but I can see him doing a Charles Manson film. Quentin Tarantino,
I got a funny feeling it's going to be Inglourious Basterds in tone.
I could see that.
Like, he's going to maybe riff on the original story, not necessarily tell a factually accurate story.
Inglourious
Basterds. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the movie that could make up for the fact that he never got, even though he wrote them, he never got a chance to direct True Romance and or Natural Born Killers?
Why would he need to make up for these things?
No, right, because, you know, Natural Born Killer, what I'm saying is that...
That's like 20 years ago. I don't think he cares that much anymore.
No, but this is a serial killer movie, per se, right? So this could be something where this is his vision finally.
Serial killer movies.
I don't think he's hung up on that.
Also, this is different. Right. This is real life. This is based on real kind stuff.
Real kind stuff. Based on real kind stuff.
I beat you.
Well, to be fair, Natural Born Killers and
Charles Manson in
True
Australia
Romance would
Brad
have
Pitt
to be.
It's a nod too.
It's a nod to Bonnie and Clyde, but
Charles Manson actually is a man that is alive.
Now, yeah, but Bonnie and Clyde really existed. But that was
a nod, too. They weren't named Bonnie and Clyde. Is he making a Charles Manson movie, or is he making a nod to Charles Manson?
I heard it's Charles. It's about Charles Manson.
It is Charles Manson. So they're not making it.
The rumor is that there's going to be a lot of focus on the story on Sharon Tate and her life and her, like, journey to her night of...
Roman.
I still
visit
say...
Visit from the...
You know who family. I want as Charles Manson? Who? Jeremy Davies.
Really?
Yeah. Look him up.
No, I know who you're talking about. I'm trying to think, I'm imagining him with a shoulder length wig. I guess you could see it.
How old is Jeremy Davies?
He's in his 40s.
Okay.
And how old is are we to assume that Brad Pitt is playing Manson or somebody else?
I don't think so, and I hope not.
Because
he's playing the detective that brings Manson down.
That makes sense.
Because I'm really hoping
he has a lot of scenes where he eats food.
Well, here's
that would be kind of like career suicide if he did Manson.
Not really.
I mean, it could either be really interesting or is like Brad Pitt acting like Charles
Tippett.
Manson.
Normally, I would agree with you, but because it's Tarantino, don't you think that he's so beloved that whoever ends up playing Manson in the Tarantino movie will be celebrated because they were in a Tarantino movie?
And then you get into a dicey territory when you have Brad Pitt being Charles Manson, because then you have this handsome dude, you know, like the reason people follow Charles Manson because he was a charming guy. And then do you worry about like copycat murders because of the movie because Brad Pitt is so awesome?
Well, here's the thing. If you think about it, Charles Manson back in the 70s was not exactly he was actually kind of a looker. Women adored him.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm
He still is.
Yeah.
He's a good dancer. He's
with his twitchy eye and everything.
Oh, yeah. He's a regular Valentino, that guy. I will say this.
And his swastika on his forehead.
Oh, yeah. That's
that is a backward swastika, carved in there.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah. Wow.
Not in the mirror.
There's a link to Inglourious Basterds right there.
I love you, Gannon.
Oh, yeah. Carved in swastika. Inglourious Basterds.
Well, here's the thing is that.
Whoa. I didn't even think of that one.
Whoa.
Format. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Charles Manson.
That's foreshadowing is what that is.
Was Charles Manson in that?
Now he was.
I know Quentin Tarantino's doing it, and it's gonna raise eyebrows. And
not if somebody leaks
interested.
The script online and he throws a temper tantrum like he did last time. But then he made the movie anyway. What am I talking about?
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, is the world ready for another Manson type story?
Is it gonna be like?
Tell me,
are they
gonna
name him Charles Manson? Or is
if it's
be
by
like
Tarantino, you know the music's gonna be good.
I think people are ready for it. Like, give me the last Manson movie. Like,
here wasn't a movie. Here's the thing: is that we had the end all be all of films regarding Charles Manson.
Care Bears movie.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. There was
it was subtly there. Yeah, you have to look for it, but it's there.
Yeah, yeah. The Manson Bear. I got it.
You're making you're being ridiculous.
It was Helter Skelter. Helter Skelter was an amazing.
Well, how many
it was
years
a television
ago was that?
Movie. It was amazing. But you see, bringing it back up to, by the way, if you've never seen Helter Skelter, look it up. You should. It's fantastic.
Also watch the Care Bears movie.
Yes.
That's also great.
But remember that they tried
while we're
this
on the topic of Charles Manson, mm-hmm. look up Taylor Hanson and the rest of his brothers. They're fun pop group.
And then Taylor Swift.
Yeah. No, but remember 2 years ago, NBC tried this. It was called Aquarius with David Duchovny. Mm-hmm. It was a very cool
Duchovny
series.
Did Duchovny play Manson?
No, Duchovny played the detective.
Oh, then what the hell cares?
See?
I think the fact that he played a detective, everybody was hoping that he would be looking for aliens, unfortunately. But it just didn't go.
It's kind of the same thing
Manson's
if you think about it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I just don't see. I don't see Charles Manson garnering that kind of.
It doesn't matter. It's a Tarantino movie.
I was gonna say, it doesn't matter.
Film a rock and a stick, and everyone go see it.
Iconic figure. I think that. Tarantino is great with iconic.
He made Inglourious Basterds, and Hitler was even further back than that. So what's the problem?
But here's the problem. Well, here's
a good soundtrack.
Hitler is a figure in history that should never and will never be forgotten. So when people make movies,
he's like porn for Americans. It's like
Hitler,
the best villain ever.
Hitler is right. Hitler is
it'll
is
never
a,
not
amazing.
Be okay.
That's what you jerk off to.
Like if you want to be a hero, who do you defeat?
Can
it's
I
like,
say that
you?
But that's the iconoclastic thing of Hitler is the fact that he is an amazing villain. Like you want to destroy him. Captain America punches him out.
It'll never not be okay
in a
to
comic
just,
book. Right. They weren't ballsy enough to have him do that in the movie.
Right, but I mean for crying out loud, Hitler is one of those characters that is a villain that you hate.
But again, like I said. And to go back to Isaac's point, this is a Tarantino movie. It's going to supersede all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's the only thing that's going to do
Rock
that.
Rock and Stick, part one.
Yeah, I mean.
When Kill Bill came out, my college roommate was like, this is garbage. I was like, this is genius. Yeah. I was like, couldn't wait for volume two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
I mean, he made a wish fulfillment movie about going out to kill Hitler.
Yeah. And it was a great movie.
And like I said, I wouldn't be too surprised if that's what this Charles Manson movie is all about. It's like a wish fulfillment type of version of the story.
Really?
But Manson never dies.
I'm with Cynthia on this. I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening at all. I do see it being more of a Sharon Tate movie and then kind of the...
I hope it's not. Which I'm because that's why it's scary if it's Tarantino because he'll make it stylish and cool.
Yes,
and is he
going to
glorify the wrong aspect of the movie?
It's true.
I don't think so.
I don't think
there's so many things.
I think he's good enough
Charles
to do that
Manson
though.
Mythos,
that's what's the
though.
Scary part.
There's his failed music career. There's so many things to like.
Yeah,
on.
Exactly.
But I don't think it makes him endearing.
No. You're right. It doesn't make him endearing. But there is a romanticism involved, don't you think? I mean, for
like
natural
born killers, they really romanticize those psycho killers.
But think about this: how many women still to this day? Isn't he married to some girl
on the
outside?
Yeah.
You know, they write this guy letters.
They just got married
again.
Haven't you seen him?
He's pretty hot.
Yeah.
He is. He's squirrely.
He looks like he talks to squirrels.
He looks like he talks to squirrels.
He's the definition of squirrely.
Oh, I will say this: what Tarantino touches, I very rarely do not enjoy. So there's that. So I have no problem with him making the film.
He touched Todd on the shoulder once. You enjoy him.
I do.
So I guess that's true.
I do. I do.
Does that mean Todd's going to show up with a swastika on his forehead?
That's how he touched him.
But if this is true, expect a 2-hour and 40-minute epic. from Quentin Tarantino.
And I also think it'll be interesting to bring it to. I don't think that there's much for. I mean, what are kids gonna try and? I'm looking at you, Alika. What are kids gonna try and
emulate? Like kids are.
Well, because he didn't. I mean,
kids are psychos nowadays. They're gonna Facebook Live that crap, man.
I don't want to be the dick to say that he didn't actually kill anybody. But what are kids gonna do? Like try and do mind control on other kids to go kill somebody?
Well, that's what the blue whale thing is. It's just basically tricking kids into killing themselves.
That is, you know,
well,
that's also
a step outside too. He didn't trick people into trying to kill themselves.
Yeah, he talked them into killing other people.
But here,
right.
to be fair,
it's bad though.
To be fair to Cynthia, I'd rather have Mickey and
Mallory.
But that's what's frightening and exciting about movies like this is that they explore this part of the human psyche that's there.
Right.
It's not because it's not. It is a danger.
But it almost feels as if in this day and age,
you're bound to awaken that in somebody.
In this day and age, Charles Manson is extremely passé. Like he is, it's almost as if what he does doesn't even register on the Richter scale.
Because he used that thing that Loki had in Avengers. That's, we know that now. He just put it on their hearts and
but
then
what
they
I'm
have
saying
black
is,
eyes.
How bad is it now? I mean, it's awful. Look, the only thing that the majority of America remembers now to this point as far as serial killer goes is probably Jim Jones. Technically he's not a serial killer. He got people to kill themselves.
I was born in 81. The last one I remember is Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy. Oh, and everybody remembers. And everybody remembers. You were born in 81?
Yeah.
You bastard.
What's that? Why
you look so old.
Anyway.
Look older than Isaac.
Really?
You do.
It's true. I do look older. This is just terrible.
Isaac, I think, looks younger than me.
I think the only other serial killer that even remotely makes the cut are two.
And Jeffrey Dahmer, of course.
Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Hall
of Fame, right?
Jeffrey
John
Dahmer.
John Wayne Gacy.
But you see, that's almost too far back.
Joel
If I bring up
the Boston Strangler or if I bring up the Zodiac
Richard
Killer,
Ramirez.
No one's going to like.
People still bring up Jack the Ripper.
But once again, Jack the Ripper is always brought up because he's technically the quote-unquote first serial killer.
But it still kills your point. He's still
you always remember your first.
And people still talk about him.
That's true.
You say Jack the Ripper, and people don't even know the history. They're like, "Oh my God, Jack the Ripper's the guy killed all those people way back when."
Speaking of that,
the men wore girdles?
Did you see the History Channel has an amazing multi-part documentary about a guy who was related to apparently Jack the Ripper, and they're tracing his ancestry back, and he's looking. It looks pretty cool. Anyway, sorry.
I did not see this commercial.
That ancestry.com is getting out of hand.
That's a good ancestry.
That's probably how the series started,
right?
The first scene is him on a computer going, "Oh damn."
Uh-oh.
There's a leaf in London.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, it almost feels as if it almost feels like the act of serial killing seems to be. It doesn't even.
They prefer mass murder.
Or mass murder or whatever.
They prefer school shootings or theater shootings or mall shootings.
Right, they don't. It's just so strange.
So Tarantino should just scrap that whole movie, just tell the story about the guy that shot up that theater at Dark Knight Rises. Is that what you're saying?
There is a movie.
I'm following his logic here.
But there already is a movie.
We should make a movie about the guy that shot that theater.
It was
up.
Terrible. What was it called?
It's called The Dark Knight. It was called Dark Knight.
No, but there was another. The Netflix show that was. There was a school shooting at the end of it, and they did a dance to defuse it. The OA.
I never watched the OA.
They all learned a simultaneous dance that somehow helps them warp zone to each other.
What?
And then the climax of the show is there's a school shooting and they all do the dance.
This sounds
terrible.
So it becomes
a Bollywood thing?
I have no idea. I didn't
watch it.
Sounds
freaking terrible.
Somebody, I regretted
I
not watching it.
See it now.
I regretted not watching it. And then one of my friends described the plot of it to me.
Really?
And I was like, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Well,
Hella Cena, some people really liked it.
Oh, wow.
Some people.
Yeah. Some people.
It was popular. I was tempted to watch it.
All right. Well, listen.
I'm sorry for making fun of it.
I will give any Quentin Tarantino movie a chance, and if he's going to make a movie about serial killers, if there's anybody that can make serial killers cool,
that's what I'm afraid of.
It's Quentin Tarantino.
They're going to make it too cool. Kids nowadays are morons. You're like, serial killer?
That's awesome, yeah. Oh, can I Facebook Live it? Such idiots. It's going to happen.
Well, I mean, let's look at it from the other point of view. He goes and makes Django.
Yeah.
And it shows a lot of the uglier side of slavery. I mean, the even uglier side of slavery that people never got to see.
The exploitive side, yes.
I wouldn't say the exploitive side, but some of the stuff that we never even knew about, like how they bring up those spiky type things in people's heads. You never really got to hear about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's a little bit more historically accurate than half the other things we've seen. You didn't get to see that in Roots.
Agreed.
Roots is a softer-handed version of slavery.
The softer side
of slavery.
Hey, listen, Cynthia, I'm glad you thought that.
Regretting immediately.
Too late.
But can I say this, though?
Sure.
I'm not about making or policing art just because of the children. Like, can we just have art for adults? Like, I don't like. Can I have a Manson movie?
You disagree with her?
Like,
but that's what was fun about the '90s is like they really actually did try to glorify Charles Manson, Rob Zombie, all of his cover art and his albums was like all about Manson and psycho killers, and it was cool. Mm. Like there was no like fear of that.
I have never had a problem.
Nothing's
with,
cool anymore.
I've never had a problem with the movie industry making films about serial killers and or quote unquote glorifying them. That's not what's at issue for me.
I mean, I think even just showing doesn't necessarily mean glorifying. Like,
dude, watch Serbian film. There's art for you.
I've seen it. Remember, we're the two idiots that I was cringing at that.
Did you
movie.
See the unrated version?
I did not. I do not want to.
Four There's extra minutes of even more terrible.
Oh my god!
There's an extra 6 minutes of credits.
I am not watching that garbage. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's not an easy watch.
That's not at all.
I think it's a really easy watch. I love it. I've seen it multiple times, and I have this thing. I've explained it before on my own YouTube show and on other people's podcasts, where I have this thing in my brain, and I didn't ask for it. I just have it, where I have a complete separation between like real life and what's on the screen, where I have no suspension of disbelief. Like when I watch any movie I've ever seen in my life,
yeah,
for the entire 90 minutes or 2 hours, all my brain sees is actors speaking dialogue from a script, acting with props, working with special effects, telling a story, hopefully creating art. So at no point do I actually feel feelings where I go, oh, poor thing, she's dying. Or
he's like Neo with the Matrix, y'all.
So like I totally...
I wish I could
do that. I can watch a Serbian film, and I don't see... I'm not going to tell you or you what happens in it.
Watch Serbian film, guys.
Yeah. No, by all means, don't watch
show it to your children.
Don't ever show it to your kids.
No, that should be a choice.
First of all, Isaac, did I say Isaac could promote a show on the Nerd What? No, I'm just kidding.
Why?
Jesus. You did.
Why not?
I'm just messing.
You promote everything
I
else.
Do everything else.
No, what I'm saying is because I have that ability.
Right.
When I sit through something like Serbian film, all I see is the story that they're trying to tell, and I don't sit there having the emotions of like, oh no, don't do that to him or don't do that to her. I just like I can just watch it blankly.
I wish I could do that. And here's the thing is that
I'm
for me,
you're not a sociopath.
I feel zero empathy for any character.
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
As far as what you're feeling, it's interesting because if that is the case for you, that means at least in my mind that the actors and the people that are portraying them are not doing it right.
No.
Because if I don't have any emotional connection to character.
Yeah.
But let me counter that. If he never has that, how could Isaac's seen almost every freaking movie known to man.
I'm sure. What I'm saying is that
I recognize good performances.
Dude, even The Notebook.
I freaking hate that movie. That is the worst movie ever.
Okay, you want to know something really? Okay, this might seem like a total joke, but once in a while, when I least expect it, I actually do have moments of like a real human heart, and I'll feel things. And usually, swear to God, they're usually like children's films. Yeah.
Care Bears.
Like The Mighty Ducks.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
The Goonies. When Chunk and Sloth tell each other that they love each other at the end, that wrecks me.
That's good. No, you're right. That's good. There was emotional.
What parts do you cry at, G?
In Goonies? Well, the emotional heft of the.
I was joking.
He just can
move
on. General.
The emotional heft of the speech.
I cry at Armageddon where you know Harry, I love you. Yeah.
I told us that in Narzine when we interviewed you.
Like I said, the emotional heft of the Goonies speech in the well was good, without a doubt.
No, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about
the Goonies.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm going, that guy's going to be Thanos.
When he picks up the pen, he's like, we can't take these. These are people's wishes.
Yeah, but when Corey Feldman grabs and goes, "Yeah, well this was my
this
wish,
is my wish,
and I'm taking it back,
and I'm taking it back."
I love that scene.
That's a great
it's a good scene.
Scene,
but yeah. I didn't cry about it.
No,
I didn't cry either. But it was a great scene.
No, it's a
not
great
like
scene.
A wuss.
I am when it comes to movies, I am the most unfeeling human being you will ever meet.
But we know
right
that
until
when
you
watch
feel,
a movie
you just
film,
said
though.
You feel about a lot of stuff.
But
here, like,
but here's the thing is that I'm exact
like
opposite. An exact opposite in movies.
Not a baby driver.
I am
though.
An emotional wreck when I watch movies.
Right.
I cry at some of this. I can't believe I'm admitting this.
You cried during Spider-Man.
I did. I
see?
Cried during Spider-Man.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though.
You cried during Transformers the last night.
No. I only cried because Mark Wahlberg died.
I don't actually look down
what?
Upon people for
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't have cared if it was true or not.
Characters,
what's
though.
That?
I don't look down upon people for having feelings for characters. I just think that everybody's different, you know?
I have...
That's very diplomatic of you.
It right. is.
I look down on you.
Quite.
Apparently, I
do too.
I'm a blubbering fool when I watch movies. I cry. I cry at blended with Adam Sandler.
I wish, oh my god,
I'm gonna cry about
I
that.
I can't believe you brought that back up.
I sometimes kind of wish that I could feel human feelings. Most of the time, I'm actually pretty happy to have this curse.
Wow. Isaac, I don't feel anything.
He's an emotionless robot, ladies and gentlemen. Emotionless robot.
So basically, when Tarantino makes this Manson film, it's probably going to make me want to go out and kill people.
Well, here, nice. Yeah, that's my
31 years of not killing people.
I can't wait for this
for
movie now.
It's going to be evidence. This podcast will be evidence in
They're
your trial.
They're going to be playing this,
right? In Isaac's trial, they're going to use this as evidence of his
on his 30, on his 41st
like,
birthday.
When I saw Break Into Electric Boogaloo, when I learned that if you have a problem, you can solve your problems by putting on a show with dancing and raising money through your dancing to save
people.
The community.
And now the Fox News headline after he goes on his rampage is going to include Electric Boogaloo in it. It's going to be like 37 injured, 4 dead.
Your Honor, Electric here's Exhibit A. Electric Boogaloo.
He's blamed Electric Boogaloo.
Basically, the point of that joke is... If you're going to say that kids are going to watch Manson movies and go, I want to go kill people, then those same kids should watch Electric Boogaloo and go, I want to go save the community center.
So you just balance it out. Make it
but
a double feature.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
But yeah, make it a double feature.
Isn't that the point, though? I mean, when you watch something like
Three
Electric
slain.
Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Right? And two beat in a battle.
Isn't it supposed to inspire... a movie like Electric Boogaloo should inspire the community
but
to get together.
It. Yeah, but does it?
Ain't no stopping us.
It also inspired me to try to walk up my wall and onto the ceiling, but that did not work out.
It's true. Anyway.
It makes me, I look at Electric Boogaloo and I go, my clothes should be more colorful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need
I should
more
be a better dancer.
Yeah, I just can't see, it's hard for me to comprehend for, I mean, there are movies that are stupid, without a doubt, and I don't have emotional reaction to them.
Are you calling Electric Boogaloo stupid?
No.
You didn't even call Transformers the last night stupid.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to when I watch some of my favorite films, and not having an emotional reaction to the characters, that's a rough one for me sometimes. I can't even
No, but then you just see it as art.
Yeah,
that's how I experience film.
It's interesting. It's a rough one. I mean, yeah. Anyway,
by doing that, sometimes I can assign art to things that is not intentionally art. Like maybe I can look at Electric Boogaloo and see it as art.
He'll like start filming plastic bags floating in the wind. The very blank expression on his face. Just whispering to himself,
filter.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well,
do you ever feel like a plastic
since
bag?
Sometimes. Before we get off this subject, since we're talking about feelings and serial killers, Seven. The ending of Seven is a very powerful ending.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It's a very, very powerful
It's probably one
ending.
Of the most quoted movies ever.
Yeah, it's a very
just
powerful
that, ending. Just that part, though.
Are you kidding
what's
me?
In the box?
Nobody can remember any other line.
Oh,
what's
no,
in the
no,
box?
No, you're right. Any line. But I do remember in Seven, one of the most crazy
That's
things.
That's one of my favorite top ten of all time.
I love that movie. But one of the most frightening things in that movie.
Did
is
you know
what,
that movie originally started as a treatment for a Lethal Weapon film?
Yes, I did know that.
Would
I read about
that.
Super
dark Holy Lethal crap. Weapon.
Well, no. It
I'm
was,
getting too old for this.
It started off that way, and the tone was lighter, but then they amped up
boxes.
The darker aspect.
What's in the box?
They did. I will say this. like I said, in Seven, one of the most disgusting parts you don't even see because they just describe it to you when
the,
they talk
about
the knife, the
yeah,
knife
in that club. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my favorite part was when they were talking about the Royale with cheese.
It's not the one.
Oh.
Not the one.
No? George Foreman was all, I'm getting too over this boxing.
Yeah,
all right.
That's not the one.
Pushing his grills.
Anywho. Anywho, Charles Manson.
It's really
and the opening press, like the best Nine Inch Nails video ever.
Charles Manson is going to be making a theatrical debut if Quentin Tarantino has anything to say about it. So we'll watch the film for sure. All right, anything before we get into Twin Peaks this week?
We can just
anything else exciting?
Cynthia,
oh, Poughkeepsie.
Dial up Tarantino on her phone and be like, so
oh, that's
what's
right.
The deal?
Cynthia knows people.
Yeah. She yeah. knows people that know people.
Yeah, you know Quentin, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah, that's Quentin. What I'm saying. All right, dial him up.
That's cute.
Have you seen Quentin's fiance?
No.
No.
She's a sexy lady.
Really?
Yeah.
She human?
She's a human.
Oh, nice.
She's
a
human. I mean, like, more human than you, Isaac?
I mean, you know.
I don't know.
So, okay, so you said the Poughkeepsie tapes thing?
Poughkeepsie tapes are finally coming out on home video.
That's about freaking time.
What is that?
Years.
Oh, my gosh. Poughkeepsie tapes was this.
Oh, I already regret asking.
Yes, you do. The Poughkeepsie tapes
there
is
actually
a,
is a long story.
Well, it's
well,
an extremely
that's cool.
long story.
I'm good.
It is a found footage film.
Oh, I already hate it.
Don't say that.
I'm not a fan of found footage films. Those things are ridiculous.
Poughkeepsie
There's
tapes.
There's actually a valid reason why it's a found footage film in this case.
Yeah, and it's and no. and to be quite fair,
it's not. You know, we're filming something in the woods and some crazy stuff happens.
Yeah,
this is the killer is filming what he's doing.
Right.
And they find it as evidence.
Right, and it's. I tell you what, I have yet to see
I don't
this
think
movie.
It's strictly a found footage film, though.
No, it's not. It's that's
I
from what I understand.
They
it's not
watch
either.
The films. It, but if anything, it's more like Sinister.
Yeah, the Poughkeepsie tapes is kind of it's kind of like this movie that no one could ever get their hands on. There's been bootlegs of it.
You can't even get it digitally. I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, you can't even get it digitally.
Somehow.
Yeah, there was even.
Really?
Yeah, it's.
I'm sure you can.
I haven't found
if
it.
If you try it,
yeah,
try hard enough.
The Poughkeepsie tapes is a how do I say this? It is a long. It has been a long time coming for this movie to finally come out.
It was supposed to have a theatrical release in 2008.
2008, yeah.
And then it came out on VOD in 2014.
Something
it,
like that.
And then it disappeared.
Disappeared.
For like 3 weeks.
Yeah, disappeared.
And then the director went on to do Devil and As Above.
Yeah. I saw Devil, never watched As Above.
Devil's, eh.
Sure. I didn't like
As Above is also, eh.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that anyway. So, Poughkeepsie Tapes, when does that come out? When is the official date
October,
on that?
I want to say October 10th.
October 10th.
Screen Factory is also putting out collector's editions of Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead and Land of the Dead.
Ooh,
yeah.
Really? That's fascinating.
Which is actually good, because Universal's Blu-ray for Dawn of the Dead doesn't look as great as it could.
Okay.
So I'm hoping they go with a 4K presentation on, so it looks a lot cleaner.
Sweet.
Because the initial Blu-ray doesn't look that awesome.
Poughkeepsie Tapes, look out for it. It's
I'm pretty excited about that one.
It's a very interesting film that never got its due. I can't wait to watch it. That's going to be supremely exciting. Looking forward to that. Well, no trailers this week, really. We didn't see anything in Spider-Man, did we? That
no,
we
because trailers always come out after we finish the pod.
That is true. Nothing came out, for sure.
We actually got to have the Quentin Tarantino one, though, for a change.
Yeah, finally. For real. Well, I guess that means it's time. Cynthia,
it's
Isaac,
time.
Yes.
You guys ready? It's Vader time. it's
Tweaker time.
it's our Twin Peaks expert,
with
or our Peaksburg, as we say, here on the Nerd Watch. They're putting
the
work in
baby.
Because episode 9 is back on Twin Peaks: The Return on Showtime.
Yes.
And I tell you what, it's been a long
I'll tell
week.
You what.
I have not had a chance to watch it. I watched the 8th episode last week. I'm very excited to see this one.
Mm.
Now, Twin Peaks is back, and it's going to be. Is there any other breaks, or are we doing another? Are we going all the
There's
way?
There's
no
the other
end?
Breaks.
I don't know of any other breaks. No, but we are at the halfway point at this.
We
point.
Are in the halfway
yes.
point. That is correct. And I'm assuming since we're talking about Twin Peaks: The Return. I'm assuming David Lynch does not disappoint. I'm guessing.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. So who shall we go to you first, Cynthia?
Yes.
Yes. How are we doing this? Did you want me to just kind of go? Or
I think you should
just
go
hit my main points here.
Just
go for
and,
it.
And then you can riff off of her.
Chance
okay.
Em.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit the main
em,
points,
bro.
And then
oh,
Isaac's going to probably do a rundown. My favorite things this episode 9. I love how much Major Briggs, even though the actor's dead, even though we don't see him, how much of a main character he still is in this episode is amazing to me. I love the character of Major Briggs. Even though superficially he's a straight-laced, seemingly archetypal conservative military dad, he's like an otherworldly mystic. And I love that kind of dichotomy. He's like a good dude, a hero, and I love that he's still a part of it.
Otherworldly mystic. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. I wrote that down.
Yeah. I like it in season two, Wyndham Earl shoots him dressed as a horse.
Wow. I just love everything about Major Briggs. He's just such a cool character, and I love that he's such a huge part of the season.
Mean to get political, but I think my favorite word is conservative in that thing. But just
really, you know. I said despite the fact that he's a seemingly archetypal conservative military dad,
I don't know why you guys are like,
you like that?
Surprised?
Yeah. Right. He don't listen.
He don't listen. He heard what he wanted to hear. Is that shocking? He was a part of this episode in a couple different places, actually. We had Bobby, Hawk, and Sheriff Truman go to Betty Briggs' house. And
she kept pushing that coffee.
She kept wanting them to have a cup of coffee, man. They love their coffee in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, but they kept turning her down.
Until everything was said and done. Yeah. Then they had that coffee.
I got a question. Is it by happenstance that coffee is such a big deal in Twin Peaks and coffee now around the country is Starbucks is based out of Washington and it's become a worldwide thing?
Are you trying to say that Twin Peaks started that?
Do you think Twin Peaks had something to do with that?
No.
No. Right. But I do think that the reason that it's all over Twin Peaks is that Lynch loves it so much. Lynch even has his own brand of coffee.
Like, I think people were drinking coffee before Twin Peaks.
No. But I mean, the Washington has this mystique about it when it comes to coffee now because of Starbucks.
I would say no.
I'm going to go no, but I'm going to say I would like that to be true.
I know people.
I think you're stupid.
Washington that
I appreciate
do not
that.
Like.
Wait a minute. What's David Lynch's brand?
He has his own brand of coffee. At least
he does, but I don't know what it's called.
I don't know what it's called either.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
So, thank you, format.
I'm going to be mad if it just says David Lynch coffee.
So, Betty Briggs told Bobby Hawk and Sheriff Truman that she knew that they were coming.
Okay.
Garland Briggs, her husband, her late husband, told her that those three would be coming to her house. Of course, she thought it would be the other Sheriff Truman. She didn't know it was going to be this Sheriff Truman. Mm-hmm. And that when they came, that she was to give him this.
It actually is called David Lynch coffee. As it turns out.
Whole Foods, though. So.
Whole Foods, so we can go get it at Whole Foods.
I will. Don't think I won't.
Is there a catchphrase at the bottom that says, that's a damn good cup of coffee or anything?
Come on, man. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, no, but David Lynch coffee isn't stupid. Okay, I get it.
No, you're stupid. The coffee's good.
Oh, okay.
It does say A+, organic espresso. Whole bean.
Okay.
Wait, it made its debut at Whole Foods back in 2013, so that ship might have sailed. Anyway, continue, Cindy.
Thanks. They gave him a thing and some things happened and that was great. What do you think, Isaac?
You don't have more?
No, I'm just kidding.
Moving on.
So yeah, they gave a, there was a thing like inside of this weird part of a chair was a thing hidden and she pulls it out and gives it to them and then they have coffee.
Interesting.
And then they go back to the.
The sheriff's department.
Thank you. And the guys don't know how to open this thing.
What does this thing look like
it's
exactly?
Like a,
is it like almost, the box like a, from the first season?
It's like a tube.
Oh.
It's like a metal tube. Almost looks like something you'd put a travel toothbrush in.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a small silver tube.
And Bobby's so cool in this episode. Bobby's just laughing at them.
Bobby's always cool.
Bobby's sexy as shit, man.
Wow. Can you say that
58-44, I remember that, and I think that's the name of the podcast.
And he's laughing at them. He's like, I know how to open that. My dad showed me how to open that.
Wow.
South Park did.
And he opens it, and... Am I missing something, Lahala? And there's a note inside for a Major Briggs.
Oh, man.
There's a map There's coordinates. Map. There's a date where they need to be at those coordinates. And on the second page, it says Cooper, Cooper. And then Hawk says, two Coopers.
Bum, bum, bum. What? What? Okay. Bum, 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 so this is almost like they're sending him on a, like a, what I'm assuming, like some kind of wild goose chase.
A wild coop chase.
No, a wild chase! That's good!
What I think...
That's the name of the pod.
Yeah.
Wild coop chase.
That's good, too.
So that was one of my favorite scenes. My other thing that stuck out to me was Tim Roth was in this episode, but also...
As in the Tim Roth?
No, different Tim Roth.
No. Okay,
Tim Roth, the baseball player.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it takes us back to prior to episode 8 when Dougie, Good Coop, is in the police station after having thwarted a assassination attempt by Ike the Spike.
Okay, because I finished 8. Where was Dougie? Dougie was taking out the ice pick killer.
Yeah.
At the end of 7, right?
Yes.
That was okay.
So they're at the police station and having just kind of being debriefed on the whole thing.
Okay.
And they, you know, they're basically saying a bunch of stuff about him, blah, blah, blah. But
right,
the
right.
thing that stuck out the most to me is that while they're waiting in the Las Vegas Police Department, Cooper just starts staring at the American flag.
Okay.
Just zoning out, which is not unlike what he's doing now. He's kind of out of it.
Sure.
And America the Beautiful starts playing faintly in the background.
Okay.
And that's not strange, again, for him because he's an FBI agent, straight-laced, patriotic,
mm-hmm.
All the things he's, you know, on par things he's attracted to, files, badges, law enforcement,
statues. Is he waking up?
But his focus is taken from the flag as this woman.
Damn it!
In red heels, walks into his line of sight. Now, to me, that has significance. To me, as a Twin Peaks fanatic, that has significance. If you will. if you will.
Yeah. And why is that?
Not because Cooper is the kind of dude that's just like, look at that lady, because he's not that kind of guy. The significance there is he's focusing on her shoes. Because Audrey, in episode 1, season 1, swaps out her saddle shoes for a pair of red heels.
Oh man, you are good.
And also another episode or two down the from episode 1, she's also in those heels kind of like seducing him. So it's just I see red heels, I think of Audrey. And again, Lynch is like, okay, so anyway, then he sees the heels and then he gets lost in an electrical socket. So that's done. But I feel like he's just playing with us, man. Like we all want to see Audrey so bad. And he's just dancing around it. This episode, we saw Richard Horn. We saw Audrey's mom. We see Ben. We see Jerry. We see maybe even Audrey's son, Richard Horn. We see all the Horns, but we don't see no Audrey.
Wow.
It's like, a horny episode.
It's a lot of horns. And why are they making us wait? And I have a theory. I think that maybe Audrey's what's going to snap him out of it. But
so she could be the one that breaks the spell.
She could be.
Interesting.
That's what I think. I think that she means so much to us and as the fans and them, their connection is something that so many fans loved and wanted to see kind of be, I don't know if it was a company.
It's interesting because I would assume that Laura Palmer would be the one because he was so dedicated to finding her killer. I understand that. What I'm saying,
but she was with him in the lodge. With him in the.
That's
you know
what I.
Mean?
But like, that's what I mean. Yeah, maybe you're right. I guess that is the point. I guess that is the case.
I feel like he's leading us up to.
I get that. Yeah.
I feel like Lynch is leading us up to a treat with Audrey. It's why he's holding on to her. Like it's why he's like he hasn't shown her. He hasn't shown that card yet. And I think he's going to deliver, even if it's not going to be what we want. Even if it's going to be traumatic, he's going to deliver with something.
I think you want Cooper to bang a dead girl.
What's wrong with you? Kind of maybe. How old would Audrey be at this point?
25 years older than 19.
25 years older than she was when the show started.
Yeah, and she was
43,
what,
I guess.
She was 19 when the show
right.
ended.
Right.
Her character was 18.
Mm.
She established.
Was a year older, though. She was 19, 18 when
no,
the show started.
No, but Coop was how old? Coop was
in his mid-20s.
He was in his mid-20s, right?
I'm gonna say 25.
25, yeah. Okay, interesting. I
the only time
right.
Audrey's ever revealed her age on camera, she said she was 18.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So she'd be about 43 now.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Also, so what's that? What's the actor's name?
Which character?
The crybaby.
Oh, Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard
from the movie Summer Catch.
The one
that's the movie you pull up.
He killed
the one from Wing Commander.
One and the same. He killed it this episode. He was so good. He's the greatest ugly crier, like right up there with Kim Kardashian, like just ugly, ugly crying.
Okay, so Matthew Lillard, he is, we saw him, the last time we saw him was episode 3, maybe 4, when he was in jail?
One.
Oh,
was it one?
One, yeah.
Was
it?
Beginning, yeah.
One. Wow. I'm starting to rewatch it with my husband now, so I'm like...
Oh, he must be loving that.
He's a...
Why are you putting yourself through that? Because you know your husband went, eh.
I like a challenge. So, he's going to like this, whether he likes it or not. So, Tammy is interrogating Bill Hastings, okay. Which is... Sorry, what's his name again? No, the actor.
Matthew Lillard.
Yes, Matthew Lillard. So, she's interrogating him, and in the interrogation, they reference a blog that he created in 1997, which is called In the Search for the Zone. And if you look it up, it exists.
No,
it
on
is
the
an
internet
actual
right now?
Website. It, all right, I'm looking. It looks like a like Angel Fire website. It is magic. It is so hilarious.
All right, I'm looking for that right
it's
now.
It's good. It's good.
All you see are advertisements for David Lynch coffee.
It's really good. So the reason they bring it up is because he talks on that website about seeing the major. So apparently he and his secretary, who was found, her head was found with the major's body.
Okay.
Journey to some alternate dimension where they met Major Garland Briggs.
Wow.
That was like The Simpsons would do that, where they'd have like they'd mention websites, and then they would create the actual website, so if nerds went looking for it, you could find what do badgers eat.com, stuff like that.
So, you know, they said it seemed like he was hibernating there, and he asked them to find coordinates for him, and they found them and gave it to him. And then when they did, he floated up and said two words, Cooper, Cooper. And then his head disappeared. So, yeah.
It even has a picture of Matthew Lillard's character. That's
so
pretty
good.
Crazy. All right. Cool.
So the blog exists, and the blog says it's active from 1997 to 2015. Now, the only reason I find that interesting is because they also reference the year 1997, because that's the year that the detectives investigating Dougie Jones state that there was no record of him existing before 1997. Why is 1997 becoming this pivotal year? I don't think Lynch does anything by accident. So there's that.
Do you feel like Briggs disappearing in 97 and Dougie coming to manifestation in 97 is one and the same? Because I was wondering if Dougie's, whatever you want to call it, let's just say soul, like his existence,
sure,
was inserted into the major's body, perhaps, because when they showed Dougie in the beginning of the series, he was much...
He was a fat guy.
Larger.
Yeah.
And,
hey.
And when
portly
he,
American.
When his spirit left him and Cooper entered him, then he slimmed down.
That's interesting. I didn't
so
think of that.
I was just wondering if Briggs was his host for Dougie's spirit.
That's interesting. I don't
or
know.
Essence.
A few other things.
Okay, so then, but wait a minute.
Wait.
That's an interesting concept. So are we saying that the soul of the man takes over the physical portion as well? Or is there a difference between the soul and the body? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't know, because I don't really watch Twin Peaks theorizing too much. I get some ideas if they come to me naturally, but mostly I just go with the flow.
But that's fascinating, though, because if you're saying that the if Cooper's soul can travel into different bodies and it takes the form of the person, that's interesting.
No,
is that
Dougie
what you're saying?
Jones is Dougie Jones. We're not talking about Cooper.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Cooper.
Dougie Jones was inhabiting
Briggs's body. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think that maybe they did it as a visual thing to kind of show the visual difference between Dougie and Cooper.
Gotcha.
He was bigger. He had different
hair.
That's
more likely.
Otherwise, it's just kind of like, well, it's the same dude. I mean, they had to make three separate characters on the same guy,
you know,
and like make them
David
so
Lynch
different.
Is, in my opinion, none of us are as smart as him. I think that we can all theorize till the cows come home for the whole season, go, what if this and what if that? And at the end of the season, we're all going to be wrong because none of us can
even come
close to being as smart as David Lynch.
All right, I'm leaving.
Speak for yourself.
Except for Gannon. Yeah.
You ruin everything, Isaac.
I'm a ruiner of things.
Ruin it today because it's your birthday, but tomorrow, no dice.
No dice, pal. All right, so any other observations there?
Just a few hundred. Dougie's boss, when they're in the... I just thought this was interesting. It might be stupid as shit. But Dougie's boss, when they're in the police officer's department.
I think you're looking for police department?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. There you go.
Word.
That's why Ray thinks down. I was trying to go off script. It's not working well for me.
Oh my God.
He does this thing where he pumps his fist like three times, which is also from Fire Walk With Me.
I actually didn't notice that.
It was from Fire Walk With Me. Isn't that the signal for uncooperative police?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was that or if it was him doing that because he is also a former boxer. I don't know.
But no, seriously, I didn't.
Boxers do this.
I didn't notice.
I don't know. Do they? I don't know.
Wait a minute. You're just making.
She did this a lot.
Are you making it up that boxers do that? Because
I don't know if they do.
Boxers,
I just don't know. I'm not as smart as David Lynch, like you said. I don't know. I'm just going to give you my favorite lines from the show, and then I'm not going to talk about Sky Ferreira being on there and being disgusting.
Who is she, by the way?
She's
I don't know.
She's a singer. Oh, okay. My favorite lines this week, it's an effing morgue.
Oh, I like that.
What happens in season two?
Oh, hilarious.
I am not your foot.
Yes, that's a good
line. What the hell's
that? Oh, it's so good.
Is it good? Okay.
Coop flew the coop.
Coop flew the coop. I like that one a lot.
I know. F you, Albert. This is the chair.
This is the chair.
Coop flew the coop. I like
that
one, too. That's good. That's good. Any observations that you made that she may have missed? All right.
I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. First of all, Tim Roth and Jennifer Jason Leigh, both from The Hateful Eight, is in Twin Peaks. I think that's great.
What?
Sorry.
Please do that every
time. You took me off guard with the words. Okay, so Bad Cooper sends the text around the dinner table. The conversation is lively, and later in the episode, Diane receives this text. Hmm? What's up with that?
Also, Diane was upset that she couldn't receive text while on the airplane, obviously waiting for a text from possibly Evil Cooper.
And this is the part where you go,
what?
There it is.
There's a scene where Jennifer Jason Leigh's character Chantel gives Cooper a kiss. My favorite thing about this scene, I didn't notice this until the second time I watched it, because the first time I just went right over my head. But this, the little details I fall in love with. She kisses him, then she reaches into her back pocket, and she gives him a bag of Cheetos. And that was awesome.
Wow.
That's the kind of stupid thing I would put in the movie if I made movies.
Is that a reward for being a good kisser?
That's a reward for me being a David Lynch fan.
That's some road food.
Mm, nice.
Okay, let's see. Ike the Spike gets cut. Dougie doesn't exist prior for 97. I know there's things that's already mentioned. I'm just going through my notes here.
Sure, that's fine.
I love the chair scene. There's a scene where Andy and Lucy are trying to decide what color chair they want.
Oh.
And it seems like these where people might think that's not important for Twin Peaks. I think that if you think that, you're so used to what the new show is like that you forget that the old show used to be folksy. And stuff like that is kind of, to me, a callback to the old Twin Peaks. There is still life going on in that town.
Sure.
I'm going to take it a step further, too. That the name of this episode is This is the Chair. I think he was also trying to have people be like, is this the chair? No. No.
Interesting.
I liked it. Let's see. John Horn runs into a wall.
What?
David Lynch loves people to run into walls. Like, he loves head drama.
He does have a lot of patterns in his films that he has callbacks to, and one of my favorites is Flickering Lights.
Mm-hmm. He loves strobe.
Jerry is tripping out in the forest, looking at his foot, which begins to speak to him, and says the line, I am not your foot.
I am not your foot.
I don't really know if that was a that's not a good impression. It was so good. But you can do it. It's in a unusual voice.
Interesting.
You want to hear it again?
I am not your foot.
Okay. It doesn't sound nothing like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so they being Hawk and Bobby Briggs and the sheriff do visit Mrs. Briggs, and they go to
where do they go?
They're all crazy. They go to her house, and she reveals that there is a secret compartment in a chair where there is a small silver tube. They take the small silver tube back to the sheriff's office, which they cannot figure out how to open. Open it. Bobby reveals that his father once showed him something just like that before, and he knew how to open it. So they go outside. He throws it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then he makes a humming sound, and he throws it again, and it opens up. And here's the instructions. 253 yards east of Jackrabbit's Palace. Before leaving Jackrabbit's Palace, put some soil from that area in your pocket. Then there is a symbol of two, what I'm guessing, mountains, like Twin Peaks, with a circle above one. And the other one had the symbol of the ring. You know what I'm talking about? The,
A mortar?
That's the lodge in the White Lodge, Black Lodge.
So this is 253, and the next set are two dates.
Okay.
10-1 and 10-2, August 1st and August 2nd. Which they reveal in Twin Peaks that...
not to August.
I'm sorry, October 1st and October 2nd.
And we're
they
in...
They reveal it's September 29th.
We're in, yes, September.
They don't know initially where Jackrabbit's Palace is, but once again, Bobby Briggs comes through
it's
and says...
It's about the bunnies.
I know where that is. Oh. Jackrabbit's Palace is a place that Major Briggs used to take Bobby to as a kid. It was their, quote, make-believe place, and Bobby named it.
I love watching the unpacking of what Major Briggs taught Bobby. Like, I love Bobby just kind of going through and like just like
I was a big Bobby fan from back in the day, and I not everyone was, but I feel like people are coming around now that they see him as an older gentleman.
Yeah,
and he's helping them solve the case, and I think that he's winning hearts and he's winning people over. And so, of course, as Cindy had mentioned, the second paper is the paper that Briggs shows Cooper from season one, when he has the coordinates, and then it says Cooper on it twice, and then Hawk says two Coopers. So they at least get this idea that there is a doppelganger. Going back to what Cindy was talking about with Matthew Lillard being an ugly crier, on a side note, as a horror fan, he cries at the end of Scream when he's bleeding, and it's like that.
Oh, good.
Which I really like his crying.
Oh, yeah, he's in that, too.
He's a whiny crybaby. So, yeah, he reveals that what's that woman's name? The FBI agent?
Oh, Tammy.
Tammy. Oh, yeah, F-U Tammy. I forgot about that. And they went to a certain place at a certain time.
My initials are TP.
Oh, Twin Peaks and toilet paper. They entered the dimension and made contact with a certain person. They said certain person. The major was hibernating there. Other people were looking for him. He wanted to go to a different place, so he asked to be gotten coordinates.
Yeah.
They were found in a secure military database. Ruth wrote the coordinates on her hand.
Ah.
They gave Briggs the coordinates last Thursday.
Right.
Then these others came in, grabbed Briggs by the neck, pushed Hastings down and said, "What's your wife's name?" And he said, "Phyllis." Hastings identified Briggs in a photo in a group of six photos, and then he drew a circle around his photo as instructed, then signed and dated it. And then he continues the story. We gave him the numbers, and he started to float up, and he said some words, Cooper, Cooper, right before he had disappeared. And then Ruth was dead, and then I woke up, and I was in my home. And who were these people? Do you think they were the woodsmen?
I do, yes.
Or as I like to refer to them?
Dirty hobos?
ghost hobos.
No. It's dirty hobo.
Well, no, see, the thing is, Cindy, Gann, and I are going to start a band called Ghost Hobos, and Emma Hell is going to be in the band. Yeah.
There. Hey.
So you're already Gobos? Qualified Gobos. To be in the band. And we're going to have a lot of songs about hoboing out, I guess.
It's weird just thinking about the fact that there would be a nerd band that are cool punk rockers and they're called...
Weezer.
Weezer. I wasn't going there.
Or the Ramones.
Oh, wait. Yeah. No, Weezer's the thing. We're not going to have a band. Because we don't want to be the second. Yeah. We would be the third.
We the Weezers.
My favorite part of his whole story was in the vein of celebrating his whiny crybaby crying, he goes, "We were going to go to the Bahamas." So I love that.
And then what does Albert say?
What did he say?
Fruitcake, anyone?
Fruitcake, anyone?
That sounded more like Adam Sandler. Than
here's
Matthew
my
Lillard,
here's my problem slash gift. Every impression I do, I can't do impressions, so I just do. You know how he just does Bane?
Does.
I just do Sandler.
Is Sandler
you
your thing?
Give me any line in history movie, I'll do it as Sandler.
Let's see. Oh, man, that's a tough one. What should I give him? Let's try. I can't do that one. Die Hard, you can't do that one. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one from Werewolf Without a Cause. You're tearing me apart.
Werewolf Without a Cause?
No. Rebel.
Can we make
Rebel.
That movie?
Rebel.
Can we make that movie?
Rebel Without a Cause.
You're tearing me apart!
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. I got to admit.
Yeah.
You're tearing me apart!
This is a show. We're going to take this on the road.
You should. You definitely should. Sandler and Bane. Sandler.
Richard Horn and Beverly listen to The Hum. Uh-huh. In his office, by the way, and The Hum almost inspires him to have a romantic moment, but Richard declines the moment, which is interesting.
Not Richard, Ben.
Oh, Ben, I'm sorry. Ben used to be quite the horn dog back in the day, and he is a reformed...
They've taken these characters that were formerly scumbags and given them a new leaf, I feel like.
Yes.
Well, 25 years, you know, things could happen.
And sometimes
but also
people don't change at all.
He started his metamorphosis in the second half of the second season after he comes out of his Civil War type of reenactment. That's when he starts to become a better person because Billy Zane inspire him to do so?
There's a lot of stuff unpacked in this episode. Sheesh.
Well, I'm almost done.
I'm not saying that it's bad.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
the last scene is confusing because there's two girls sitting in the roadhouse having beers, having conversation, and one of them reveals that she got fired. Mm. And that she feels
burgers.
She has a bad rash.
He has this nasty... So Sky Ferreira, who is, like, supposedly some... She's a pop star, I guess.
Is she, like, in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she's not asked onto the show as a musical guest. She's asked... She's an actress in this. And she has the... So she's kind of a sex symbol. I guess she's a pop star. Like, she's naked on one of her album covers. And she has the nastiest rash on her underarm. Like, it's so gross. It's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch.
And she keeps scratching at it. And her teeth are all gross.
The second
and
time I watched it, I actually literally looked away.
I'm
like, I don't want
to
say that gross.
It's hard
again.
To watch. It's hard to watch. Lynch has a thing about arms.
Right? I didn't notice that.
Well, no, I mean, like, they chop off her arms.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I am the arm.
I have noticed that.
Ew. Ew. Like, that would be
are
a
you
deal
looking
breaker
at the rash?
For you.
No, he's looking at Sky Ferreira.
Oh, even without the rash,
seriously?
You?
Are you serious? That would
she's,
be a deal breaker for
she's
me.
She's naked on one of her album covers, too. But, yeah, she's so gross.
Just tell her to use the other arm.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Never thought about that.
She does a song for the Baby Driver soundtrack.
There you go.
She's on the cover of Playboy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
a pretty Portuguese lady, don't
oh, come on. Are you pretty? Give me a break. All right. Anyway, sorry.
You know, the fact
that I don't mean to judge her looks.
The fact that you don't find her pretty and that you reveal that she is naked on the cover makes me think of David Chappelle when he's like, oh, the milk's gone bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ah.
Is she good, though? I mean, as an actor?
No, I hate it when people fake drink. Obviously, her beer was empty, and she keeps bringing it up. And you can kind of hear an empty can, like
oh, her teeth.
It's annoying. I hate fake drinking. So that whole scene was terrible to me. I couldn't barely watch it.
Gotcha.
That's why our show's good.
Yeah. Fake drinking here.
Because you're fake drinking right here. Anyway, anything else before we move on? Is that it? Is there a cliffhanger in this episode?
It's one big confusing mess.
Okay, hey, that sounds like every episode.
Kind of like this show.
Yeah, it is. Kind of like this show. That's good. Anyway,
our show is almost just like Twin Peaks if you think about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Everyone knows what the hell.
Can I be
going.
Audrey?
That well,
mean,
who's
I
got
be
the
here
rash?
Huh? Oh man,
that's the cliffhanger. Sean. Bum bum bum.
He does the most lunges, so I'm assuming he's got a rash for sure.
No, he's chafing.
He's chafing.
He's chafing. He's
definitely chafing.
You can Why catch... are you throwing gang signs at me, Kai?
Yeah, we got it.
We got it.
So check. You guys need to check out.
He's beautiful down there.
You can check out Twin Peaks: The Return on Showtime. We'll be back next week for more.
He sounds like a 12-year-old boy.
You guys can. You guys will be able to check out Twin Peaks next week. Cynthia and Isaac will be back next week to talk about Twin Peaks episode 10, and we'll definitely get more of that next week right here on the Nerd Watch. Now, before we get out of here, anything we need to know, talk about as far as videos this week? I know that Fast and the Furious or Fate of the
Fast
Furious came out.
Fast and the Furious
came out. Yep, on Blu-ray and UHD.
Wah, wah, wah. That's kind of it, really.
Is that it? Pretty much?
It's the biggest release.
Biggest release.
I have to say that I have to make a correction. Kong Skull Island did not come out this week.
Next
like
week.
I had said on last weekend.
Yeah, it's next week.
So, yeah, it's the next one.
It's next week. I do know that if you're a gamer, that if you like Injustice, Sub-Zero has been released. If you're a big gamer, you can check that out.
I thought it was tomorrow, but
it's today.
According to what I've been seeing, it's out there already.
It is today.
If it was tomorrow, it'll be tomorrow soon enough.
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow soon enough.
If you didn't download it yet, you're good.
You're
in
good.
12 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are the Nerd Watch. We will, we may or may not do the War of the Planet of the Apes premiere. I don't know yet. We're trying to figure that out as we speak. So
Caesar,
yeah,
he's a noble ape.
And then we will also be having a nerd friendly trivia over at.
That's
our next big one.
No, I mean War of the Planet of the Apes. There should just be like a Bane ape.
No,
instead of Woody Harrelson, would be Adam Sandler.
Stop it!
I will also be at a Comic Con doing some.
His name would be Bape.
I don't know. I'll be able to talk about that when I get back.
Are you going to be leaving?
She's on a Facebook Live for
will
us.
You be here next Tuesday?
Oh, I will be here next Tuesday. Sorry. The following Tuesday, I will be able to talk about that.
All right. So next week, Tuesday, you'll be here. But the week after that, you will be in San Diego. I cannot wait.
Right.
And
during her free time, she's going to Facebook Live for us.
Yes.
That's what I was trying. That's what I was alluding to.
She's going to be Facebook. I'm going to give her the credentials to be part of the Nerd Watch admin
Even
group.
I don't have those.
Yeah, you do. Shut your face.
You're officially one of us
Yeah,
now.
You're officially one of us.
One
I'll
of
give
us,
that to you.
One of us.
It'll be a lot of fun for her to do that. I can't wait. Take pictures. I'm very excited for you.
San Diego especially
Comic-Con.
The behind-the-scenes stuff when they're naked.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, see? Let's get you fired, see?
Lots of pictures.
Never want to go, see?
They would love that.
Yeah, they would love that. We are out of time, boys and girls. We'll see you guys next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
With his shirt off.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I can't get enough of that.
Yeah. Whatever you do.
I feel like I just said that out loud.
Walk the floor with... Oh, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see that. So we got more announcements, trivia, all this other stuff coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. We are out of time.
Trivia night.
You guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And, of course, patreon.com/NerdWatch is where you can donate to the pod. And, of course, like I said, we've got some other events coming up. We'll let you guys know about next week that you're not going to want to miss. So until then, for Cynthia, for Gannon, for Format, for the one and only birthday boy himself, Isaac.
And Silent Sean
is in the house.
And Alika, and who bowed out halfway through the show.
And the guy, Alika, who's probably sleeping in his office.
Todd, who went home sick.
And Todd, who went home sick. We are out of time.
Adam Sandler.
And for Bane.
We will see you guys next week, same time, same channel. Until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we'll say to you guys,
Aloha.
Aloha.